Devil's Wood by Mark McNeice. Copyright Mark McNeice and Made Mark Publishing. Narration provided by Wondervox. Chapter 3. Who will stop the rain? The storms that had been promised on every weather segment of every channel, New York and Philadelphia, arrived that night just as he was finishing his dinner. He'd seldom cooked when was married to Susan. She worked from home, after all, and didn't seem to mind preparing their food. With no plans to take it up now, he'd been using a meal delivery service since she and the boys left. Several, in fact, as he tried one until he grew tired of their limited menus and moved on to another one or picked something up on the way home. Today he'd stopped at China Grill, an odd name for a Chinese restaurant since nothing was grilled, and brought back cashew chicken, hot and sour soup, and an order of spring rolls. He'd taken it all out of the refrigerator and was heating it up in the microwave one dish at a time when the house shook with thunder. He glanced out the kitchen window and flinched at a sudden streak of lightning. He had a table for four near the stove and always ate there. He could eat in front of the television, but it only made him feel more alone. Just him and reruns of some old sitcom. The microwave sounded, and he grabbed an oven mitt to grasp the hot plate and set it on the table. He'd left the barrel of walking sticks in the narrow one-car garage. It was unusual to have one in Lambertville, where most people parked on the street or in their driveways. Garages in a town like this took up valuable space, and even the bigger houses didn't have them. It was one of the things that attracted him to this condo, where the units were more like townhouses. It had been new construction, with two-story apartments arranged in a horseshoe. He loved being able to pull into his garage and close the door behind him. "I'll bet Andrew Dowling doesn't have a garage," Peter thought, breaking apart a pair of wooden chopsticks. "Of course not. He probably has several. They're going to Aspen with skis that cost more than I make in a week." He could hear the rain pounding outside. He'd always liked the sound, ever since he was a child in his attic bedroom. The house in Sandusky, Ohio, had been too small for their growing family, and by the time Peter was born, making him their fifth child, there was nowhere left to put him but the attic after he'd gotten too big for a crib. He thought most people probably considered an attic bedroom a step down in the sibling hierarchy. But he had loved it. Every time he heard this kind of downpour, it reminded him of lying in bed listening to rain pelt the roof in waves while his family had to endure each other downstairs. His experience at the auction kept nagging at him. He couldn't remember going to one where he didn't see at least two or three people he knew. Antiquing was a small world, and auctions weren't something the general public participated in. He knew most of his competitors and considered some of them friends, with the glaring exception of Patsy Lolly. He was glad she hadn't been there, considering the acrimony between them, but surely someone he knew would want to see what the Delacorte estate had to offer. It was unusual, but not unheard of, so he tried to stop thinking about it. He ate his chicken, soup, and spring rolls to the sound of rain, interrupted now and then by thunder and lightning, comforting himself with the food and memories of a bed in the attic. He heard it as if someone had been calling down to him in his dream. He'd been skiing, something he'd never done in the waking world, and was just about to hit a tree when the sound broke through. It saved him from certain dream death. He'd been told as a kid that if you die in a dream, you'll die in real life, as he jerked awake just before his flesh met the bark of an Engelmann spruce. The bedrooms were on the second floor. He thought he must have heard a sound in the dream, but something had startled him out of it. He was sure he'd turned the alarm on, and it would be blaring if there was an intruder. He'd read that the most valuable thing you can protect with an alarm is yourself. Televisions and computers can be replaced, but you and your loved ones were priceless. Well, most of them anyway, he thought. He'd always turned it on in their other house when he lived with Susan and the boys, but he'd been slipping since he lived alone. Sometimes he said it, sometimes he didn't. Why had he gotten sloppy? Did he value his life less as a divorced, single father of two? He made another mental note that he added to the stack to make sure he turned the damn alarm on every night without fail, and to finally apply for that gun purchase permit. He lay still for several minutes, listening in the darkness. He was just about to dismiss it as a remnant of his dream when he heard something again. Not heard it, actually, but sensed it. as if there was movement downstairs, soundless movement that made itself known through a sort of vibration, a displacement of the time-space continuum. "You're imaging things, Peter," he told himself. There couldn't be anyone in the condo. He wished he had a baseball bat or a 9mm semi-automatic. He considered getting out of bed, but if someone who was not in the house really was in the house, his movements would only draw their attention. He chose to wait, motionless, and listen. Minute after minute, until finally he decided it had been nothing. He lay awake on his side for what seemed like an hour, and probably was, before finally slipping back into the still, deep waters of sleep.